we teach our kids these Bible stories, and you know, my grandkids, they know this Bible story inside and out. Amen. Most of us probably know this Bible story inside and out, and that's a good thing. Sometimes we just need to be reminded. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophet that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. Let me just go ahead and tell you, I'll reiterate something right here. This was no secret to the children of God. God was coming down to get Elijah. Amen. And all Elisha knew it. All the other minor prophets, for lack of a better way of saying it, at that time, God had already revealed he's coming. Amen. So they tell him, said, don't you know that God's going to come and take your master? And he said, yes, I know it. Y'all just be quiet. I know that. Verse 4, and Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here. I pray thee for the Lord that sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophet that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. You see where this is going? When you write with God, God reveals stuff to you. Amen. And Elisha said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood to view afar off, and they stood by Jordan. And they two stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they two went over on dry ground. I ain't got time to preach it for right here, but I just want to know, I want you to notice something. Just like I preached the other day, there were some folks in them little boats following Jesus. Yep, right. You notice them 50 stayed on the other side of Jordan. I want to be so close, glory to God, that when he crosses over, I cross over. You got to have, I'm trying not to get him. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, and behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them into pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted thither and thither. And Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophet which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Lord, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for another day. Thank you, God, for the reading of your word, Lord. God, there's so much in this passage of scripture, God, we won't never be able to expound on it all, God. Lord, we could preach many sermons right here, Lord. God, and I pray right now, Lord, you'd help me to stay with my thought tonight, God. God, help me, dear Lord, to preach what you've laid on my heart today. And God, help me, dear God, just to bring the message, God, so that the folks will understand it, God, like you want it to be understood, God. Not what we want, but what you want. You encourage us tonight through your word, God, and we'll make sure you get all the praise and you get all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach a little while on this thought tonight. Anywhere but backwards. Anywhere but backwards. When God calls us, God calls us to move forward. Amen. We all know the story, the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. There ain't nothing in the rear because we don't retreat. Amen. And I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. But the Bible tells us we move forward. Even when the road is tough, even when the road is hard, we still move forward. Elisha's determination to follow Elijah shows how you and I are to keep going through good times and through bad times. Amen. You got to understand, so hey, if you want what's at the end of the road, if you want the prize at the end of the road, you can't stop halfway. Amen. Number one, the call to move forward. Look at verse 1 and verse 2. The Bible says, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elisha went with Elijah from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me into Bethel. Elisha said to him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. He had a made-up mind right off the bat. Jackie, this is just my feeling. I believe that when Elijah walked by that farm that day and Elisha was plowing with those 12 yoke of oxen, I believe when he put a call on his, I believe on that day he burnt the plow, he sacrificed the oxen. He had a made up mind on that day, I'm going all the way with this man. This is my man. This is my master. This is the one that I'm going to follow. I'm going all the way with him. As a side note, I preached this years ago, to throw this out at you. When Elijah left, Elisha picked up the mantle. How many remember what Elisha's helpmeet's name was? It is escaping me right now. Oh, my goodness. Anyhow, if you study the Bible, just like Elisha had a made-up mind to follow Elijah, his student under him, which was probably in one of these prophets that were there, Gehazi. It's about time you got it, preacher. What you waiting on over there? Look here, you see me struggling, holler it out. Gehazi follows Elisha. He's doing everything. He is his armor bearer, so to speak. He is his student. In other words, he is to Elisha what Elisha was to Elijah. He's the one that's following the man. And we get to the story of Naaman. When Naaman dipped into river, the Bible says that Naaman came back and wanted to give him money. And Elisha said, no, we don't want your money. Hey, we're working for God. But Gehazi followed him out and took the money. And God struck him with leprosy. Just think how this progression, Benji, could have went. If he'd have followed him all the way, Jackie. When he got to the point of Elisha passing away or dying, Elisha could have turned around, Wes, and said, what do you want from me? Now, if he'd have said, I want a double portion, what would he have been? But now he's just a byproduct. You got to have a made-up mind. If you want to make heaven your home, you got to have a made-up mind. Hey, I'm telling you, there ain't no so-sos going to heaven. I'm telling you right now, if you ain't got a made-up mind, you ain't going. The Bible tells us when Elisha tells Elijah to stay behind, he said, no, ain't no way. And I thought about this. Was God testing him? Was Elisha testing him? Every last one of us has to go through tests. Adam and Eve went through a test. They failed. Abraham went through a test. He passed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through a test. They passed. Peter went through a test. He failed. Which one of those categories would you be in? We all get tested on this road to heaven, amen? And you got to understand something. You're going to get tested tomorrow. How many got tested today? You saw it, you got tested today. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to tell y'all, I'm the most honest preacher you ever had in your life. It's very seldom, if my wife was in here, she'd be amen, standing up, waving her hands. I don't know how you do, Dallas, but it's very seldom that I do anything around the home where I'm working and doing anything like that, that something don't happen and I don't get mad. Amen. I know that don't happen to y'all. I know y'all holy, and I know y'all just all that. That's very few times, I'm just being honest with you, Chucky, there's very few times that I'm doing something that I don't get mad and throw stuff. I passed the test today. Now, I might not pass the test tomorrow. But you see, you got to understand, there's a call to move forward. And the thing about it is, if you keep failing the test, guess what? You're going to keep taking the test. The call is to move forward. And you got to understand something. Some are being tested right now. True discipleship is about commitment, not about convenience. Amen. Listen to me. I made a commitment to my wife 40 years ago. I'm committed to that woman. I'm telling you right now, I love her with everything in my being. I love her. Sometimes I want to pinch her head off, but I love her. And we made a commitment to each other. Sometimes she wants to pinch my head off, but we made a commitment to each other. That's what, I made a commitment to Jesus Christ. I'm following Jesus. Like the choir sings that song, He's my God, glory to God. I'm telling you right now, I've burned all the bridges. I ain't going back. Hey, there's a call to move forward. And if you want to make heaven your home, you got to move forward. Understand that I'm committed to my church. Amen. I am committed to my church. I'm committed to my country. Amen. Now let's look at the temptation to stop. Verse 3 and 4. Let me go back. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came to Elisha and said to him, Knowest thou that thy Lord will be taken from thy master? Said today, and he said, Yea, I know it, hold thy peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. The temptation, he knew that his leader would be taken away from him. I'm going to put this in perspective, okay? This last Wednesday night, they took a vote at Mill Branch Free Will Baptist Church on whether or not they wanted them to be their pastor and pastor's wife. In my mind, I knew what the vote was going to be. I'm happy for them, but I'm still disappointed for me. That's just being selfish, and I realize that. Understand something. Elisha knew something was getting ready to happen. All the other prophets knew something was getting ready to happen. I wonder if Elisha had it in his mind, I mean, what in the world am I going to do now? I don't know how to be the prophet to Israel. I just don't know how in the world I'm going to make it without Elijah here. I just don't know what I'm going to do without Elijah here. See, that's the problem with some of us. If we ain't careful, we're dependent on everybody else. Brother Allen spoke on Senior Saints the other night, did a fantastic job. He talked about how we need to pray. And I'm glad I got people that I can call and pray for me. He said, but sometimes you need to pray for yourself. You need to be able to get a prayer through on your own. Amen. I wonder if Elijah was disappointed. What do you do when you're disappointed? You keep on going. Elisha didn't know what he was going to do, but he knew he wasn't going to quit anywhere but backwards, glory to God. Elijah, he didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know that mantle was going to fall. He didn't know he was going to start right there performing miracles, but God already knew, amen. In 1858, the Illinois legislature, using an obscure statute, sent Stephen A. Douglas to the U.S. Senate instead of Abraham Lincoln. Although Lincoln had won the popular vote, when a sympathetic friend asked him how he felt, like the boy who stubbed his toe, he said, I'm too big to cry and too badly hurt to laugh. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't quit. And he became president of the United States. You know what you need to do tonight? Don't quit. Amen. Don't stop. That there's a temptation for us to stop. There's a temptation for us to quit. There's a temptation for us to lay it down. Hey, I just don't see how I'm going to make it out of it. You're going to make it out of it because God said you're going to make it out of it. Amen. That's the problem. If Jackie stops, who else is going to stop? If Taylor stops, who else is going to stop? If Wes stops, who else is going to stop? See, you just don't stop on your own. Elisha could have stopped right there. There were 50 prophets watching him. He said, I ain't quitting. I ain't quitting. Where you go, I'm going. Amen. That ought to be our motto with Jesus. Where you go, I'm going. Amen. Now, let's look at the journey through the testing. Verse 5 through verse 7 talks about how Elisha followed Elijah from Gilgal to Bethel, from Bethel to Jericho, and then from Jericho to Jordan. Each step of this represents a spiritual step for you and I. Gilgal represents a transition or a renewal. A transition. When you get saved, glory to God, somebody's already testified. I transition from being lost to being saved, amen. I transition from living for the devil to living for the Lord, amen. I transition. Then you go to Bethel. Bethel is the house of God or a place of worship. There ought to be a time in our life that we come into God's house. We ought to be past all this nonsense. We ought to come into God's house when the cupboard is bare, still praising him. We come into the house of bread. My God's got it all. My God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and it don't matter what I'm going through. He knows what I need, and he's going to supply my every need. That's what the Bible says, amen. He will supply our every need. And then you go from Bethel to Jericho. Jericho is a spiritual obstacle or a barrier to something. Hey, in your Christian life, you're going to have to come. You're going to come to a spiritual obstacle. You're going to come, Jackie, to something that's trying to stop you, something that's trying to quit, make you quit and make you turn around and go back into the wilderness. But glory to God, my God, you got to understand what happened at Jericho. God took the wall and pushed it down, amen. Every one of these is a spiritual journey. Then you get to Jordan. When you cross Jordan, that's crossing from the old into the new. Amen. That's heaven. That's the journey, amen. That's the journey. Got to understand something. When he crossed Jordan, that's when things started picking up for Elisha. Amen. All that other time, he was a student. All that other time, he was the one that fixed the bed. He was the one that cleaned the pots and the pans. All that other time, he was the one that carried all the stuff for Elijah. But understand something. On the other side of Jordan, God come down and God touched him. And when he left Jordan, amen, he was the man. The journey through testing. Let me tell you something. God don't test you to break you. God tests you to grow you. Amen. Now let's look at the cry for double portion. Verse 9 and 10. Look at verse 9 and 10. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. What a request. Wow. This kind of gives you an idea of how close Elisha was watching Elijah. I'm and just thinking in my mind. I would have loved to have been there when Jack Lasseter left this world and looked at him and said, I'd love to have a double portion of your preaching ability. But I'm just going to be honest with you, that's probably one of the greatest preachers I've ever heard in my life. Bar none. I love all my preacher friends, but I'm just telling you, like Preacher Billy Field said, Preacher Jack Lasseter, take your sermon and I'll preach you on it. And I think about Preacher Billy Fields. Could you imagine asking for a double portion of your songwriting ability? Wow. Just in your mind right now, just think about that. From somebody that you've looked up to all your life. Preacher Buddy C, how about asking for a double portion of that humility? Chris Rumfeld, how about asking about a double portion of that witnessing, of that soul-winning ability? What a request. I mean, you think about that request. Now, I want to read you something from Adam Clark's commentary. This is in reference. Now, I never knew this. It's amazing to me that I never saw this. This is in reference to the law. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 17, he shall acknowledge the firstborn by giving him a double portion. Of all that he hath, the right of the firstborn is his. Elisha considered himself the only child of Elijah. In other words, you know, we've heard, I've heard people say this down through the years about when somebody is saved under somebody, that spiritually they are one of their children, or spiritually they are one of theirs. Elijah, all those prophets that were there, all those hundreds of prophets that were there for, they were his children too. But there was only one that was following him that close. And what he was saying, he said, you're my spiritual daddy, and I want a double portion of what you got. And I believe as my spiritual daddy, it's your job to restore, to bestow upon me that double portion of what you got. Now understand, son, it wasn't him restoring it. It was God giving it to him. Amen. But that's the cry for a double portion. When's the last time you got on an altar and really asked God for what you wanted? Instead of just playing around with it. Oh, Lord, you know what I need. When's the last time you got specific? He got specific right there. He wanted God, more of God's power, more than man's approval. He wanted the power of God to rest upon him. What are you hungry for tonight? Because if you keep settling for less, that's all you will ever have. He said, I want a double portion. I want what's coming to me. I want what you have for me. I want God to just pour it out on me like he's poured it out on you, but I want twice as much. Amen? Now look at the power of going forward. Verse 11. And when it came to pass that they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his clothes and he rent them into pieces. In other words, he was mourning that Elijah had been taken from him. Then he took up the mantle of Elijah that it fell to him from him, and he went back and stood by the banks of the Jordan, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell to him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Understand something. Elijah is taken up by a whirlwind. When you ask for a double portion, he had already asked Jackie for this double portion. When you ask for a double portion and God starts granting it to you, you see things you ain't never seen before. I don't know about y'all. I don't think nobody had ever seen a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and Elijah just step over in that thing, amen, and they take off and go to heaven. When you get a double portion, you start seeing things like you ain't never seen before. When's the last time you wanted a double portion of reading God's word? When's the last time you asked for a double portion of understanding God's word? If you'll start asking for a double portion and start doing your part, God will pour it out on you. You'll see things in this Bible you ain't never seen before, amen. It's amazing how that when we start reading this thing and we start studying this thing, that God starts revealing it to us. Amen. Not only will you see things you've never seen before, you'll do things you've never done before. The Bible says he picked up that mantle, Preacher Trevor, walked over to the water and hit the water, and the Bible says it rolled back. He crossed over on dry ground. Let me just go ahead and tell y'all this. Most of y'all know this already. If I'm not mistaken, I think, Junkie, Elijah had performed 8 miracles. When you study it, Elisha had 16. Ain't that amazing? Ain't that amazing? And see, most Bible scholars will know when you study this, you study it out and you say, well, you know, while he was alive, there was only 15. Yeah, but you got to understand, when they buried him, they threw the dead body in his grave, and when it touched his bones, it got up and walked out. Hey, don't count my God out. I'm telling you right now, my God ain't going to give you 3/4. My God ain't going to give you part of it. He said, you want a double portion? I'm going to give you a double portion, amen. That was the first miracle of Elisha, not the last miracle of Elisha. When we refuse to go back, God will always place more power, more purpose, and more promise in your hands. Preacher, I'm gonna challenge you tonight. I challenged you when we ordained you, but I'm going to challenge you tonight. Keep going forward. If you'll keep going forward, God will bless you. And God, I hope God pours it out on you and your church. In your family, that you just booming. That's my prayer for you. Keep on going. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Anywhere but backwards. Anywhere but backwards. I'm going to close with a couple of quotes. General Oliver P. Smith said about retreating, we're not retreating, we're just attacking from a different direction. Amen. General George Patton said this, nobody ever defended anything successfully. There is only attack, attack, attack. Amen. See, the problem is when you get settled, and the problem is when you get happy where you're at, I'm telling you right now, the devil will surround you, the enemy will destroy you, and I'm telling you right now, hey, we need to be on the go. We're anywhere but backwards. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give in. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. Not only do I want to stand, I want to march. Amen. Don't quit. Don't quit. The devil's in somebody's mind tonight. Don't quit. Anywhere but backwards. I ain't quitting. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. I'm not giving out. Amen. I'm going to stick with the Lord. I'm just telling you right now, I want you to bow your heads. And Brother Ralph, come out and just play something. Maybe the devil's been beating up on you tonight.